Well, good morning, church. I think you're given some sermon notes. There's a lot of scriptures I'm going to be looking at, so I'm not really going to be reading any particular text. But the one that I start with here is in John chapter 8. And one of the things that I found is through ministry, a lot of people, they want to hear from God, and sometimes they don't believe they are. Or sometimes they think they're hearing something from God, and then people say, no, that can't be God. And you have people that say they hear from God all the time, and some people that say on the other end of that continuum, you don't hear from God at all. So I'm hoping that we can bring a little bit of clarity out of what God's Word teaches on this. It's obviously a large subject, an important one. But John 8:47 says this, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. That's pretty straight up, right? If you were to read in context of who he's speaking to Jews there. He's speaking to Pharisees there, which are the religious leaders, the teachers of Israel. In the context of what the conversation was, they're saying, that, wait a minute, we're sons of Abraham. So they're saying, oh, well, we've got it all together because of this, who our heritage and all this. And he just says this very plainly. No, if you were from God, if you really belong to God, you would hear what I'm saying to you. Now, let's be honest. The main reason that most of us don't hear God's voice is because we're poor listeners. Thought I'd at least get an amen from a wife. You know, the number one complaint, you know, my entire career as a pastor in counseling, in premarital, even in marital, and beyond that, is communication. And it's uncanny how many times, I can't even count how many times when we start saying, well, could you tell me the problem? And one or the other one would say, they don't listen to me. We're just not very good at listening. And if God is speaking, and according to a latest poll, the average couple spends 27 minutes in conversation together in a week. 4 hours a day watching TV, 27 minutes a day or a week in conversation. So if we can't even make time to communicate to the primary relationship that we have on earth is our family, if we can't make time for that, then chances are we're just simply not making any time to hear from God, right? We're just not listening to him. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jeremiah 17, he says, I spoke to you again and again, and you would not listen. We hear this over and over. Matter of fact, I don't know if you've noticed how many times in the Bible it tells you to listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus several times says that. For those who have ears, let them hear. We're just not very good at listening. And this is what we need to know. Just because we're not good at listening or we're not listening to God doesn't mean that God is not speaking to us. We have in the Old Testament, we have Psalm 19. It says that, you know, the heavens pour forth speech. We should be able to walk out on our porch and look up in the sky and that's God. That's God speaking. His power, the ability that Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the New Testament, you go to Romans chapter 1. And when he's talking there, that he's saying that because God speaks, the invisible attributes of God are made known through his creation. that we're without excuse. The Apostle Paul is saying in Romans that God speaks enough in all these outside causalities, in his creation. We just have this knowledge that there is a God, and we're denying that there isn't. You know, Isaac Newton, for an example, we know him mostly from sitting under an apple tree, if that's a true story, but gravity, right? He said it's impossible to look up into the heavens and not say there's a God. That it's like God's autograph. That is God speaking. That it can't be a coincidence that Earth is just right at the perfect place in the solar system from the sun to have the light and enough heat and not be burned up or freeze to death. Even back then with Isaac Newton said that. So outside of seeing his power in his nature and creation, how does he speak? Well, Jesus said this in John 10, if you know, this is the chapter where he talks about being a good shepherd. He says he has brought out all of his own. He goes ahead of them. This is the shepherd. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. We recognize people's voice right on the phone. Most of the time you can recognize somebody when you're familiar with it, so we know his voice. I think sometimes because it talks about voice, maybe if we thought about it, God communicates to us instead of thinking it's going to be just an audible voice would be helpful. I don't know. But Jesus said his sheep would know his voice. And it's interesting, they've done studies, there's been people saying, I don't think that's true. They're recognizing the clothing, the shepherd's clothing or the staff or something like that. So they actually did a study and had a guy put the same clothes on that the shepherd wore, used his staff, and went out, and the sheep would not follow him. But as soon as the shepherd spoke, the sheep followed him. The illustration that I saw that I thought was more profound than that was it was a huge number of sheep were coming down the road, and another shepherd was leading this good-sized flock up the road. And when they got in there, maybe a shepherd could tell one sheep from the others, but it just looked like one big mass of sheep, just sheep everywhere. And all that did, the shepherds got beyond where this big group of sheep was, and each one spoke, and they followed the shepherd's voice. My sheep will know my voice. We should be able to get in tune to that. And as a matter of fact, what Scripture is teaching is, if you are in Christ, you've already heard his voice. Because he's called you by name, he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, he has brought you into his kingdom, but we need to continue to go on and continue to hear his voice. So how does he communicate with us? Hebrews, I think, brings a lot of clarity to it, because the very first verse in Hebrews says this, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So, he's saying in the past, God spoke in many different ways to a lot of different people. And if you look at the Old Testament, we have God speaking to Moses through a burning bush. We have him speaking to a king by writing on the wall. We saw in the video, he spoke to Elijah in a whisper, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the winds, but in a whisper. We learned a few weeks ago, he spoke to Balaam, through a donkey. Many ways, different ways that he spoke in times past. And again, the heavens declare the glory of God. But God primarily speaks to us today through his word, right? This is God. Let me ask you just a question. When you sit down and read your scripture, do you read it with the intention of saying, this is God speaking to me. I want to listen to what he's saying to me. See, it changes how we approach the scripture instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to get through this, my daily bread or my reading or my little checkbox where I'm doing okay as a Christian day. They say, no, I'm going to sit down with God's word that is God, that is true, and listen to him speak to me. What is God saying to me? Dallas Willard said this, that God's speaking most commonly occurs in conjunction with a study and reflection on the Bible. But it may come in any other way that God chooses. God may choose to speak to us in other ways. One of the things that I found really profound when I went to Africa, when Ryan was there as a missionary, he sent me out with one of the African pastors to a small village. It was primitive. It was like what you'd see in National Geographic almost. I mean, it was just little huts. There was nothing there. No modern conveniences. They are hauling in water. They are cutting down trees and brush to make fires for their wood and all of that. Planting their own corn so they could have the thema, all that. And, of course, I couldn't speak the language. So this pastor was going to be the one that would interpret for me. But he says, first of all, let me show you how we share the gospel here. And everywhere he went when he shared the gospel, you know how he began? As you know, to people who do not have the Bible. As you know, God created heaven and earth. And as you know, man chose to sin. God spoke to those natives. They understand by looking around that there something created that. As a matter of fact, even now, science has bended the knee, and they may not say there's a God, but they always have to say, well, there is intelligent design. Like somehow that lets them off the hook, right? God speaks to us. Primarily, he communicates through the scripture. So when we're reading the scripture, we should think about it. I remember, maybe Lloyd remembers, he brought a video years ago that talking about God's word, and it said, this is God's love letters to us. He primarily speaks through the scripture, but he also speaks by the Holy Spirit, who is God. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And I will tell you what is yet to come. I've heard it many times that somebody's told me that they were reading in their daily reading, and suddenly a verse just jumped out on them. Right? Anybody had that? That they've read that particular book in the Bible several times and they don't even remember seeing that before. And suddenly it was just like it was right there before them. Or suddenly they had a clearer understanding. The problem is with us, and I'm right there too, I'm not being critical, but when those things happen, it's real easy for us to say, gosh, look how smart I am this morning. Look at this discernment I suddenly have created in myself, or whatever. We take credit for so many things that God is doing in our life. We don't recognize that he's speaking to us, that he's disclosing things to us, because we make it all about us. Jesus said when he sends the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things and remind us of everything. When I'm sitting down, I'm not that smart. When I'm sitting down and trying to put a sermon together, and suddenly a verse comes, like Romans 1:20 that I talked about earlier, I can tell you, I know that didn't come from me. That was the Holy Spirit reminding me of what God has done. When I first became a Christian, and I didn't understand, I didn't know anything because I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so I didn't have any of that kind of background. But I felt early on that God was calling me into the ministry. Which is, in itself, is kind of an odd thing to say because a lot of people don't have any problem with a pastor saying he feels called into ministry. Matter of fact, that's what they want to hear from him. But some of those same people say, well, God doesn't speak. So how is he called? I don't understand. But I was trying to determine that for myself. And so in Moses Lake, the pastor would take me on visitation. He let me do certain things. And he was discipling me. He gave me an opportunity to speak to the congregation, to preach a couple times. And I moved from there, and I moved over on the coast. And I went to a church in Olympia, the Free Methodist Church in Olympia. And I was really surprised because the pastor came and visited me at my home, and he says, I talked to your pastor where you were at before, and I just want you to know this up front. I know what you were doing there, but that's not how it works here. Nobody does anything, nobody serves in this church until they're here 6 months at least. And so one of the prayers that I've been praying is, Lord, if you really call me into the ministry, I want you to acknowledge it. I hadn't told him anything about the call on my life or anything, but that was my response. So now I'm really confused. I'm thinking, God, I really felt a very clarion call to preach. Matter of fact, it was when I said, well, I don't know what to preach. It was like God audibly saying, preach Christ and preach him crucified. Now, I didn't remember at that time that basically is 1 Corinthians 2:2, which is my life verse now. So I was wrestling with this, and I was praying with this, and I heard that there was a little Pentecostal preacher, Native American, speaking to the Indians over in the Yelm Indian Reservation. I just thought, well, I want to go. So I went over in this church. I'll never forget it. I mean, it was run down. The whole building kind of tilted like this. A little bitty guy, a small Indian, smaller than I, boy, he was just calling down fire from heaven, man. He was spitting even. I don't even remember what the message was about, but he was going, and I was looking, and I was surprised because there's only about a half a dozen, maybe 10 at the most, Native Americans, almost all men, didn't seem to be paying attention. And so he gets done, he has an altar call, nobody responds, and I get up to leave. And I turn around, and suddenly there's a guy right in my face that I've never seen before, wasn't Native American, and guess what he said to me? God has called you to preach. Preach. That's all he said, and walked away. Now, if you want to, you can put that into circumstances or luck. I put it under the providence of God calling and confirming in my life, and I could go on with stories after stories. But God also communicates to us through circumstances. Right? We must be open to the possibility of God speaking to us in other ways, or how many of us have passed by like the burning bush? When we don't believe that God's communicating and wants to communicate to us, how often do we look at something that's going on in our life and not pay any attention to it when it's God trying to speak? I love hearing testimonies. I was just amazed by this guy's testimony. He was, like a lot of us before Christ, pretty rough character. He is driving down the road and saw something in the road, so he decided he was going to get up, get it out of the way. He picked it up and turned it over, and it was God's. It was a Bible, and it was opened up to John 3:16, and he read it, and it changed his life. Coincidence, right? How many of you would even pull over? A book's not going to cause an accident. God speaks to us through a lot of circumstances, but we're just not listening to him. We're not looking and saying, what is God trying to show me here? We can read when the Apostle Paul says, God opened doors and closed doors. What do you think those were? Doors? No, it was circumstances in his life. There were things, plans that he'd made. And either the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart about it, or where he was going, the door closed. It just wasn't going to happen. It was not going to be that way. What about you? How is God speaking to you, even in these circumstances? And God also communicates through people, obviously. Hopefully, when you listen to somebody preaching on TV or on the radio or come to church, that you're listening for God's voice speaking to you. I think we acknowledge that. But he can also speak through friends, through counselors in different ways, people that can give us good feedback. Now, obviously, we need to be careful when anybody says something in our life, even if somebody comes up and says, I've had this happen to me too. God told me to tell you this. And I said, okay, what did God tell you? You know, so messages you get only for me? Certainly, anytime we hear anything or look at a circumstance or have a prompting of the Holy Spirit, we think it's the Holy Spirit or this urging or desire, whatever term you want to use, obviously, we always want to make sure that it lines up with God's word, because he's never going to go contrary to his word. But he will speak. One of the ways, and it used to be, I heard this testimony a lot, not so much anymore, but when I've heard testimony, I say, okay, well, how did you come to Christ? Tell me the story of what you come to Christ. And they tell me of a story of a friend they had or a family member that they had that was once this way, blind, but now they see. That there was such a radical change in a person's life, they knew it had to be from God. Because it wasn't just a simple makeover. It wasn't simply the person's will determining he was going to do this. That suddenly somebody that had a problem with alcohol or anger or whatever was broken in their life was redeemed through the power of God and his gospel. Matthew, Jesus said, let your light shine before others so they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know that's evangelistic? I'm going to talk about that probably a few weeks. But living a holy life, being light in the darkness, has its own evangelistic power in it. If we're no different than anybody else, and we're talking about this God that changes life, but they don't see any change in our life, he'll speak. He'll speak through other people many times. So how do we learn to hear and discern God's voice? And I think that's something that we need to understand. It's something that we need to learn and we need to work on. The Lord came and is calling another time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Are you listening? You take time, any time in your day, enough time for all your clutter, your checklist, your agendas, your worries, your what-ifs to go away, to evaporate, so you can hear from God. Because it takes that. It takes time. The process looks a little bit like this. See, the question for me is not, is God speaking? The question is always for me, am I listening? So first of all, there's communication. There's that listening to God. Dallas Willard said this, that recognizing God's voice is something that we must learn to do through our own personal experience and experimentation. Did you notice that when God first spoke to Samuel, if you know the story in 1 Samuel, that he thought it was Eli speaking to him? So he went to Eli. Right? Okay, I'm here. What's up? It took a little while. It took some learning and some understanding for him to recognize that it was God speaking to him. We need to listen for God's small whisper. And we need, when we hear something, we need to make sure that it is lining up with God's word. There's got to be the comprehension of what God's saying. Because I've seen this too. I've seen people, I don't discredit they didn't hear from God, but I'm not sure they comprehended what God was really trying to say. Because sometimes it's even a timing. God may say, this is going to happen, I want you to do this, but you have to wait for his timing, for him to open the door, not just plow through because I heard this from God. In Exodus, it says that the Lord, spoke to Moses face to face. Now, and it says he spoke to him face to face as a friend. Most of the time, we kind of get hung up on the face to face, like, no, God doesn't sit down. I don't visibly see him, and I don't hear his voice necessarily audibly, and all that. But what I got from that is he spoke to him as a friend. And why do I say that? God's not speaking to us in codes. He's not speaking unclear things that we can't comprehend or understand. He wants us to understand what he's saying. Are his ways greater than our ways? Absolutely. Are there some things I don't understand about God? Absolutely. But when he speaks to us, he wants us to understand him. That's why the scripture, many, many places, tell us if we think we've heard from God, then get godly counsel about it. The Quakers, if you're familiar with them at all, they had a committee that if somebody thought that they, through reading the scriptures or in their prayer time or in their quiet time, God spoke to them, then what they would do is they go and sit before their elders and tell them what they think God said, and they would discuss that to see, does it line up with God's word? Is this possible? What is it he's saying? And help them with that. Let the wise man listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. We need guidance. John Wesley warned, he said, too many people are listening to their own imaginations. We have to have that discernment. We should be able to get feedback from more mature Christians, somebody who's learned to listen to God's word, his voice through his word, understand what it is. Nothing wrong with that. And then there's the confidence. We hear God speaking. We finally get clarification. We understand what he's saying. But do you trust what God says? God doesn't always make sense to us, does he? When Ryan came to me and said he really feels that God's moving him, and we prayed, okay. Then when Ryan came to me and said God's moving him to Decatur, didn't make any sense to me. It's not where I'd want to go. It's not where I'd want to send Ryan. But you can look at scripture place and place it again. It's where God calls somebody, communicates to somebody, and what he's asking of them doesn't necessarily make sense. I'm going to be talking next week on evangelism out of Acts. Does it make any sense to you that God would speak to Philip, who, according to his own word, says that he was doing a fantastic job of people coming to Christ through his ministry, and he says, I want you to leave this ministry that's flourishing and go out into the desert after one eunuch? God's ways, not our ways. What God asks us to do sometimes doesn't always necessarily make sense. But we need to have confidence when he speaks that we can trust him. And then he expects change. We're to be transformed by what God says. We're not just to listen to the word, not just to be hearers of the word, but what? Yeah. Obedience. Okay, I hear you, God. You spoke. I'm clear on what you said. I have the confidence in you that whatever you said is best for me, even if it doesn't make sense. And I'm going to step out. I'm going to obey. If we'll do that, if we'll take time, I guarantee you this week you will hear from God in some way. Would you pray with me? Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion together, we pray, Father, that you would speak to us even in this time, in the quietness, in the sacredness of this moment, that we would attune our ears to what you have to say to us. And we give thanks, Father, in Jesus' name.